Good evening. Some of you are awake out there. But we're continuing our study in the Gospel of Mark. If you would turn there to chapter 2, we're going to complete this chapter tonight, Lord willing. And this morning we looked at the first 14 verses, and tonight we'll look at verses 15 through the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 2, verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they came and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up, taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David said, when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Well, we have in this particular passage two or three events that Mark is portraying for us. And, you know, as I mentioned before in last month, as you go through the Gospel of Mark, you'll see one event right behind the other in order. And we see here, first of all, tonight, that we left off this morning with the Lord Jesus calling Matthew to be his disciples. And in verse 15, Jesus was invited to Matthew's house in verse 15, and they held a banquet there. And Matthew wanted to introduce his friends to the Lord Jesus in verse 15. And there were publicans and sinners, and it said that they were his disciples, the Lord's disciples. There were many of them, and they followed him. And it's interesting, I read that the Amplified Bible, when it referred to publicans and sinners, it said, People stained with sin. People stained with sin. Isn't that us, brother, sister in Christ? We were stained with sin. The Lord has wiped us, wiped those sins away and made us clean and white as snow. But it's interesting that all the people who sat at that banquet table with the Lord Jesus were stained with sin. And that's what the Lord Jesus has come to do, is to be with sinners, because he wants to save sinful, wicked, evil people. And that's where he was in this verse. And of course, in verse 16, the scribes and Pharisees have gotten to throw a wet blanket on everything in verse 16, and they have to point the finger, they have to find fault. And they said that the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners. They said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And I imagine that the scribes and Pharisees were went to the disciples with this question, probably in order to sow discord, probably to undermine their confidence in the Lord. But it's interesting that if you read the gospel accounts of the scribes and Pharisees, you quickly find out that they put themselves above the disciples and these sinners that were eating with the Lord Jesus. They didn't associate with these people because they're wicked. They're sinners and publicans. I didn't say Republicans. I said publicans. A little humor there. But we see that the Pharisees and scribes were hypocrites. They revealed their hypocrisy. And I was thinking about this verse in relation to our lives as believers. You know, brother, sister in Christ, we've got to guard ourselves against hypocrisy in our lives. People that know us can see it. People that who are unsaved or lost, and we tell them they're Christians, there shouldn't be any hypocrisy in our lives to be revealed to them, to the unsaved person. But we see here that the Pharisees and scribes were certainly revealing their hypocrisy. And it's interesting that they criticized the Lord Jesus and said that he is eating with publicans and sinners. Well, of course he is. That's what he was supposed to do, is to win lost people to himself. But it says in verse 17, when Jesus heard it, and it's interesting that the Lord knew what was in their hearts, as he always does. We looked at that this morning, and we found out that the Lord understood the scribes' hearts, the hearts of the scribes, and he understood the Pharisees' and scribes' hearts here. But he said, the Lord said in verse 17, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. You know, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people need a doctor, don't they? The scribes and Pharisees thought they were righteous, and they didn't need to repent of their sins. And the publicans and sinners, those people who were sitting around that table with the Lord Jesus Christ, they knew that they were sinners. There was no doubt in their minds where they stood. And Matthew was telling them, here is the Savior of the world. Here is the Messiah of Israel, the one we've been looking for, who is able to forgive our sins. And Jesus said at the end of verse 17, he says, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Verse 17. And the Lord Jesus, I think, took a swipe at the Pharisees here when he says, I didn't call the righteous. The Pharisees consider themselves righteous without the Lord Jesus Christ, without repenting. And the Lord Jesus would often reveal the hypocrisy of scribes and Pharisees to people in public. And that ended that particular passage, or that particular section of this passage. Now, in verse 18, Mark mentioned the fact that the disciples of John and the Pharisees used to fast. And they asked the question to the Lord, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast? What's going on here? We don't understand that. And in the Old Testament scriptures, fasting means that you go for a period of time without food, usually to express grief and sorrow most of the time. And the Lord Jesus said in verse 19, he said, can the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Now, we understand that Jesus was the bridegroom. And as long as he was with the disciples, they didn't need to fast or express sorrow or grief. But he also said in verse 20, the next verse, he said, "But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days." When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, the disciples will fast and be sorrowful. And you remember when the Lord died, they put his body in a tomb for 3 days. And we see what happened to the disciples. They withdrew unto themselves. Peter went back into the fishing business. He thought his life was over. The disciples pretty much threw in the towel. Except Mary Magdalene came back and told them that the Lord has risen, that he's living. And of course the disciples found that out. But for a while there, they were sorrowful and grieving. Thank God the Lord Jesus rose from the dead to be a living Savior. But it says also, it leads into this parable in verses 21 and 22. And both of these verses express the same thought, the similar thoughts. In verse 21, it says that no man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent or the tear is made worse. And of course he mentioned the wine bottles, the wine skins, the old wine skins and the new wine skins in verse 22 in a similar fashion. But both of these parables introduce how the Old Testament has given away to the New Testament. The two were incompatible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. A new piece of cloth is used to repair an old garment. But the older cloth will be weaker than the new cloth, and it will tear it, you see. But Jesus was comparing the old dispensation to the old garment. And we have to understand, you know, God never intended New Testament Christianity to patch up Old Testament Judaism, excuse me. You know, in the Old Testament, the Jews were under the Old Testament law. In the New Testament, when a person is saved and comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're no longer under the Old Testament law. The Apostle Paul fought this battle in the book of Galatians. If you'll read that, and you know, we studied that some months ago in the book of Galatians, how that there were Judaizers coming into the assemblies in the local churches in Galatia and trying to bring the Christians back into the Old Testament ways, back into bondage. But we have been delivered from that. You and I are no longer under the Old Testament law. Now most of the, we have to understand also that the spiritual principles in the Old Testament still hold. We shouldn't commit adultery, we shouldn't murder, we shouldn't bear false witness, and all that. The spiritual principles in the Old Testament still apply to us today. But you and I are not the nation of Israel. You and I are living in a new dispensation of grace. God's grace being shown to every person in the world. Being poured out. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is being revealed in this dispensation to everyone. When thy Savior died on the cross, the world came to the mind of people in the world that something great has happened. Those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ understand something incredible and fantastic and great happened when our Savior died on the cross. There are people in the world who would reject that. But we understand that truth. And in verse 22, the Lord pretty much explained with the wine and the wineskins the similar truth in that as in the previous parable. But in verses 23 through 28, the Lord came, had another encounter with the Pharisees. We see in verse 23 that Jesus and his disciples were going through the cornfields. Now, the cornfields were grain fields. They were basically wheat, not really corn. On the Sabbath day. And the disciples went, they plucked off the grain, the tops of the grain. And what they would do is take the tops of the grain and rub their hands, you see. And that will get rid of the chaff and chaff. I think is the correct pronunciation. Get rid of the chaff, and of course they could eat the rest of it. Now that's pretty raw. I mean, it's not really bread, but it's basic nourishment anyway for the disciples. And we don't know how long they've been without food. But we see here in verse 23 that the disciples were hungry. They needed something to eat. And the Pharisees, when they saw this in verse 24, the Pharisees said unto them, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day do that which is not lawful? You know, the I don't know of any of the Pharisees in the gospel accounts to give any encouragement to anybody, do they? They're a pretty negative group of people. And they were, again, pointing fingers and finding fault with the disciples, with the Lord Jesus. And this created a huge controversy with the Pharisees. But in the Old Testament law, on the Sabbath day, the Jews would do no work. That day was holy to the Lord. And the Pharisees considered the disciples as doing work by going out in the fields and trying to feed themselves with the grain. They considered the disciples as doing work and thereby violating the Old Testament Sabbath. See, that was the view of the Pharisees. And again, we have to ask the question, well, why were the Pharisees asking Jesus this question? And we understand they were finding fault. But, you know, as the Lord pointed out and elsewhere in the Gospels, the Pharisees believed in keeping the letter of the law. And they didn't, they forgot about grace and mercy. You know, brother, sister in Christ, we can do the same thing if we're not careful. We can keep the letter of the law, but forget to extend grace and mercy. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He kept the law because he's the perfect man to do that. But he also extended grace and mercy to everyone he met. Should we not, as believers in the Lord Jesus, extend grace and mercy to the people we meet? Are we supposed to point fingers at other people? Are we supposed to find fault with other people? Cannot we look at ourselves in the mirror and realize that we're sinners too? See, the Pharisees placed themselves above that. The Pharisees thought that they were being righteous by keeping the letter of the law. And the Lord Jesus pointed out to them that you've kept the letter of the law, but grace and mercy, you don't know. You haven't extended that to other people. So we see that, that as Jesus and his disciples went out into the grain fields and were eating, and in verse 25, the Lord, being the patient teacher that he was, pointed out to the Pharisees in verse 25, have you never read what David did when he had need and was a-hungered, he and they that were with him? Well, Jesus reminds the Pharisees of that Old Testament example in 1 Samuel 21. We're not going to go back there, but if you would go back there, you would find out how David, of course, at that time was anointed king of Israel, but he was not reigning as king, and he was being hunted down like a fugitive. The reigning king, Saul, wanted to kill him, and David and his men were on the run. In verse 26, the Lord said, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. David and his men were hungry, and David was asking the priest there in the house of God for bread. Now, we're not told in that chapter exactly how long it had been before since David and his men had anything to eat. It could have been days. Have you ever gone with 2 or 3 days without food? If I miss a meal, I get really hungry. But, you know, we don't have any food for 2 to 3 days. And so David and his men needed nourishment to keep themselves going. But the only bread left in the house of God there was the showbread, which was unlawful for David to eat. The priests could eat it, but David and his men were forbidden to eat the showbread. And David asked the priest and said, "Listen, you know, my men need some bread. What have you got?" "Well, we haven't got the regular bread here. The only thing we've got is the showbread." And David said, "We'll take it." So David took the showbread and handed it out to his men. But if you read that passage, you'll find out that God allowed David and his men to eat the showbread, but the Lord never rebuked them for doing that. Interesting. And if God did not rebuke David, how much more blameless were the disciples in trying to feed themselves on the Sabbath? And the Pharisees. You know, would it be possible for the Pharisees to say, "Listen, Lord Jesus, it looks like that you and your disciples are hungry. You haven't had anything to eat. You're out there in the grain fields trying to feed yourself. I tell you what, why don't you just wait here? We'll go back and bring some bread and cheese and fish and some water, and you can have a meal." Pharisees didn't do that, did they? The Pharisees were more interested in keeping the letter of the law and not showing grace and mercy. And the Lord Jesus was pointing this out to them by using that passage in 1 Samuel 21 to point out to the Pharisees what they were doing. It's interesting that when Jesus taught, he never went up to people. He never pushed them into a corner. He never slapped them upside the head. He didn't yell at them, call them all sorts of names. He taught them. He taught them from the Word, from the Scriptures, about what they were doing wrong, how they could rectify whatever situation they were in. And if the Pharisees had listened closely, if they had listened closely to the Lord, they would understand what the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to teach them, that they should show grace and mercy. Isn't it also true that, you know, we can find fault with one another? And, you know, there have been believers who've lapsed into sin. Some believers in Christ have lapsed into terrible sin. We could go up to that person, push them in the corner, put our fingers in their faces and say, "Man, I tell you what kind of Christian are you? You look at what you've done." But is it easier to do that, or is it better to show grace and mercy? We don't have to go along with their sin. But isn't it true that if the Lord Jesus Christ is our example, that we show what he showed, mercy and grace to other people? So let's think about that. That's something to think about that. It's easy to criticize people. It's easy to find fault with them. And I think it's the first thing that we think about in our own minds is, you know, we've got to point out those faults to this person and, you know, rebuke them or do or whatever. You know, the first thing we ought to do if we see a fault in a brother or sister in Christ, the first thing we should do is to pray for them. The very first thing. We don't go up to them, rebuke them. We don't talk. We don't call them names. We don't accuse them of anything. We pray for them. If we need to talk to them later, well, then let's do it. But always with grace and mercy. Well, anyway, the Lord continued on in his teaching to the Pharisees. In verse 27, he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath," in verse 21. You know, the Sabbath was instituted by God for man's benefit, not for his bondage. The Jews set aside one day of the week for the Lord under the Old Testament law. And it was a good law because they would take one day of the week. They could think and meditate on the blessings that God had given them. They could even praise and worship the Lord in their hearts together, even as a family. But the Jews were instructed by the Lord to remember Him. To remember Him. But this is not a cause to put people in bondage. You know, the Pharisees would do that. The Pharisees were trying to put the disciples and the Lord Jesus in bondage and make them keep the letter of the law by keeping the Sabbath. And what about these disciples out here, Mr. Pharisee, who are almost starving to death and they haven't had anything to eat? What about them? What are you going to do with them, you see? The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And finally, in verse 28, the Lord says, "Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." We don't call it the Sabbath day anymore. We call it the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And on the Lord's Day, we come aside, we remember of the Lord, like we did this morning, as we break the bread and drink the cup. But we can also reflect on the Lord's Day, on the Lord Himself. We can reflect on Him, and we can even worship Him again on the Lord's Day, apart from the breaking of the bread meeting. We think about serving the Lord on the Lord's Day. We think about glorifying God on the Lord's Day. We think of all the spiritual blessings He's given us on the Lord's Day. That can be a special time for us. And it always is a special time when we meet together on Sunday morning here in Northgate Chapel at 9:30 and we remember our blessed Savior. What a wonderful, precious time that is. But we must understand that we're not in bondage on the Lord's Day. We don't come to the breaking of the bread meeting because of some rule, some law, or some regulation that we need to keep. We're here because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be here, and we're here because He instructed us to be here. And the Pharisees, they just missed it. They missed it. Like I said, they understood the letter of the law, but that's about as far as they went. And I thank God, I thank the Lord every day that we live in a time of God's grace and His mercy on the people of the world. You know, we're not subject to rules and regulations that other people want to put us through, like the Pharisees wanted to do to the disciples and the Lord Himself. You know, they wanted to regulate them. The only regulation we have is this book, the Word of God. That's all we need. That's all we need for our instruction. Well, that's the end of chapter 2. My notes have ran out, so that means that's the end of the message tonight. And next time, we'll pick it up in chapter 3. So before we go in the meeting, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You so much for the person of our Savior. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that He was so patient in teaching and His instruction, even to the people who opposed Him, the Pharisees. We pray, Father, that we would become more like the Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, that You will make our character and our conduct and our behavior and our attitudes more like the Lord Jesus, starting with me. And we just thank You, Father, for instructing us tonight. We give You all the praise, all the glory, all the credit. as we end our meeting tonight in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.